Good to see each one here. And we welcome you each Sunday, 7 to 8, in the Lord's will, if there's the Lord be not come. Very good to hear how someone got saved, how they were saved by God's grace. Each one that is saved is going to heaven, 100% for sure. They have a time when, they have a moment, they have a, and they can tell you how they were saved. And they're ready for heaven. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. We'll start in John chapter 3. This verse on there, on my right, on your left. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. John 3 and verse number 16. I want you to ask yourself as we're reading this, what does this mean to me? If I was to explain this to somebody, if I had to tell you to go out there and explain this verse to someone that has never been in here, would you be able to explain it to them? And I just want to go over the verse. This is the one verse that we want to look at. For God so loved the world. And that's not the his creation that he spoke and the worlds came into a being. This is the we people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, who was that? Well, that was the Lord Jesus. I'll start over. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's an amazing verse. We love to speak about the love of God. We just love to hear that God loves us. God loves me. He loves you. And hold on now. And let's read that verse again, the second part of it. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a solemn responsibility. As we look into an audience and we think of souls that we know, individuals we know, and they don't have everlasting life, the same exact verse that we love to speak about love and how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, it was so that you don't perish. You and I don't perish. That's the reason. That's the whole reason. So you and I will never go to hell, but be destined for heaven. And I'm asking you, will you be going to heaven or will you be going to hell if you were to die tonight? Are you ready for that moment when your soul leaves your body? You have a body, soul, and spirit. Are you ready for that time of departure when the soul leaves the body and you go to a funeral? And you see the grave, or the person, their body, and we say, where are they? Well, they're either in one of two places. They're either in heaven, or they're either in hell. You know, I did not speak. I did not, not in my heart to speak about this. But I do want to mention, because we speak about things that we really don't understand. We don't understand how big eternity is. And we don't understand how short our time is. We don't understand how great is the love of God for our people. He would come into the world and suffer so, and the people would still reject him, yet he still came. And those people might be in our meeting tonight. We don't understand how much pain, how much suffering there's going to be in hell for a Christ rejecter, nor do we understand the joys that'll be in heaven. These are things that are way beyond our understanding, and yet the Bible says they're there, and we must take it from the Word of God. And so we can say that verse 100% and believe it. But just as so that God loves you, the reason why he sent his son is so that you will not perish. You will not perish. Let's look over to another verse. Two more verses in Isaiah. In Isaiah, the gospel in the Old Testament. Before the Lord Jesus came, he sent prophets. He sent many prophets, there were judges, there were rulers, and Isaiah was one of the prophets that were sent, and he wrote this book, Isaiah chapter 59. So God wants to save you. The Lord Jesus came so that, not to condemn you by his good life, but that you could be saved from your sin and from going down to hell and spending hell, eternity in hell. You know, once you go past that pillar of death, once there's no second chance. See, since the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, our time right now to be saved is before we die. After we die, it's too late. Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. That's a wonderful promise. You know, he's not up in heaven and saying, oh, I wish I could save that person. They're just too bad a person. I can't save them and I won't be able to save them. They've gone too many places. They've done too many things. They've thought too many bad thoughts. And I guess, oh, well, no, no. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. We cry, Lord, save me. And, oh, he can't hear. God in heaven can't hear. No, that's not the problem. The problem is in the next verse. But your iniquities, that means your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. There's a problem between you and your God. Verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. The very one who created you now has a problem with you. Is the problem on God's end, or is the problem with you? The problem is with you and me and everybody else. And it's our sin, it's your sin, it's my sin. The problem between me and God is my sin. If you looked in the mirror tonight and you said this, the problem with me and God is the person looking at me in the mirror, myself. That's the biggest problem. It's my sin, not God, not my neighbor. It's not how people treat me. It's not my circumstances in life. It's my sin. That's our problem in life. Now let's go to Isaiah 53. If we don't have a problem, you know, if we could take off this roof, let's just peel back in our mind's eye. You know, we'd see, pretend it's less. Nothing, not even glass. It's all, there's nothing. You know what we'd see? No separation between us and this, I suppose, the clouds. If it's raining, I suppose the rain would be coming down. No division between us. Well, that's what we like. We like to have a division from, you know, we like to be separated from the outside. Whether it's too hot or too cold, we like to be, You know, that's why we got a division, a separation. This here, that's like your sin. The ceiling, it's like a separation between you and God. So you look up at your ceiling in your house. That's like my sin. My sin is causing me problems between me and God. And I can't get up there because sin can't be in heaven. God is holy. All right, let's look at Isaiah 53. Let's see what God did about your sin, my sin. Isaiah 53. Verse number one. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We were just talking about the arm of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save. Well, who is the arm of the Lord revealed unto? Those who are saved. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. You know what that means? When the Lord Jesus was here, he didn't have a halo or wings or special glow about him. No, he was just like everybody else. He took on himself human flesh. And when he was here and said, I am the great I am, and they knew he was making himself God, they hated him. In fact, they hated him without a cause. All right, where am I at? No beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. That wouldn't be you, would it? I hope you wouldn't reject the Lord Jesus. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know, this is a prophecy of what the Jews are going to say in the coming day. That hasn't happened yet. When the Lord Jesus comes from heaven to the earth, and every eye will see him, and they're going to say these words. Verse number 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. Look at the wounds in his hands and his feet. But he was wounded for our transgressions. The Jews are going to say, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That is, the punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. They're going to confess. What a confess that will be. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Yes, all of us have gone astray. But not only are all of us gone astray, every single individual one is responsible for making the choice personally to go their own way. We are individually responsible to sin against God. From Adam right down to here, we personally sin. We make that response that I want to do my own thing, and I'm not going to listen to God. I'm not going to bow to his authority. And we rebel. We rebel. We don't want to submit to the authority of God. God says, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not. And thou shalt not this. And we sin. Whether it's in thought, whether it's in word, whether it's in deed, we sin. And listen to this, verse 6. I'll read it again. All we like sheep have gone astray. Have you ever said that? We've gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Oh, that's me. I've done my own thing. And what did the Lord do about it? And the Lord hath laid on him, whoever him is, I would love to know. If you can tell me who him is, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So that tells me that God in heaven laid on somebody the sins of everybody. Did you ever realize that somebody took your place? Somebody? I remember visiting a friend in Cape Breton. And he was telling me, he had three children. One of them disobedient. And they had done something wrong and whatever. I forget what it was. But they were going to receive the consequence. And somebody else, one of their siblings, stepped in and said, it was me. And they took the penalty in full. And he punished them because they wasn't there. And that person took the punishment, and they found out later it wasn't that person at all. It was another one, someone else. Why, he couldn't punish two people. Someone already took the punishment. You know, when it comes to you and me, we deserve to take the punishment of our sin. We deserve to receive everything that we should have had coming to us. The minute we sin, God should have said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and he should have. But God in mercy sent his son, and the Lord Jesus willingly came, and he was on the cross, and he took whose place? He took whose sins? Why was he there? The first part of this meeting, we heard how Mark realized it was for Mark. It was for Mark's sins that he was there. And when I was 7, I realized that he was there for me. He took my sins. I couldn't believe it. It was like, that's unbelievable. You say you have to believe the gospel. Well, I couldn't believe it. I said, this is not true. That's not true. Can you believe it? I could hardly believe it that the Lord Jesus would die for me. I'm a 7-year-old. And you don't need to be big to be a sinner. But what saved me is a life of sin and sin. And eventually the wages of sin is death. And you know, the Lord Jesus sent his son as a gift. He wants you to receive the gift. How do you receive a gift? If I was to take this Bible and say, Mr. Dean, would you like to receive a gift? And I was to give him this. And let's say it was full of $100 bills. Oh, wouldn't he love that, huh? Just a Bible and all the... And you know what? He would just have to just come up and say, thank you. That's how you receive the gift of salvation. Being saved from your sins, having that separation removed, having the fact that God has taken all of your sins and put them on Christ, and he wants you to receive it and believe it and trust him. Now, we're left with responsibility. Have you received the Lord Jesus? I'm not saying, have you prayed? Have you given money? Have you tried to do your best? Have you received the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. Did you know people in Middle Eastern countries are being saved, are being spoken to in their dreams? And this is what their person is saying to them in their dreams. They don't even know who they are. But then when they realize it's Jesus, you know what they say? You know what they hear in their dreams? This is the person. They say, who are you? And it says, they hear, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You look it up online and listen to people tell how they became a Christian, how God spoke to them. I find it amazing. And he has it written right in front of you on your lap. The same one says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As our meeting comes to a close, you have a responsibility. Before tomorrow comes, who knows what can happen? Who knows? The Lord Jesus came into the world so that you will not perish. You have a way of escape. And he wants you to put your trust in him because he bore what you should have borne. Now we're going to pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We really don't understand or can't comprehend the love of God in sending your son to die on a cross for wicked, ungodly people that deserve to go to hell because of our own sin and our own choice. And yet what a wonderful thing it is to think of how one could be saved from their sins. One could be saved from the penalty of their sins. One could be saved from the power of sin, and one could be saved from the presence of sin altogether in a future day. What a joy this is. We ask thy blessing upon each one, and we pray for thee to work in our meeting tonight. We ask thee that thou wouldst speak to souls and save. We pray for thine honor and glory in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.